Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and I come to you today with a confession. So yesterday, the podcast was the first of the four assigned lectionary texts for this week, the week of May 14th, 2017, the fifth Sunday in Easter. And that's what I said. That's what I told you. Today is the second of the four episodes, the four-part episode, and we'll be looking at the psalm assigned for this week. But yesterday, instead of actually reading you the text from Acts that is assigned for the fifth Sunday of Easter, I read you the text from Acts that is assigned for the sixth Sunday of Easter. I now realize what I did and how I got confused, but at the time it just didn't even occur to me. So I went through the entire podcast on completely the wrong week. And if you are someone who follows the lectionary or went to church yesterday morning and thought, this is not the text from Acts that I heard in church this morning, you might have thought, this lady is crazy. Well, I might be crazy. It's entirely possible. But what I am is sick with a head cold. And I think I was just a little bit loopy yesterday, and I didn't realize quite how loopy I was until I was setting things, or I was working this morning, and I noticed that I had done completely the wrong episode yesterday. So I hope you can forgive me because it was an honest mistake, and in the grand scheme of things, maybe it's not so bad. I will switch and do the fifth Sunday of Easter for that first text, that first assigned text next week. And I will explain once again why I am doing that next week when I am doing the wrong week once again. Sometimes I think the universe just likes to remind me that I am not perfect. And that's a good reminder. Keeps me humble, keeps me grounded. I tend to be a bit of a perfectionist, not always proud of that. And then sometimes I have days where I'm like, yeah, you know what? Not perfect. And that's okay. So I come to you with my confession this afternoon, and I hope that you can forgive me for my lack of noticing yesterday during an entire podcast that I was on the wrong week. Not perfect. Anyway, how are you today? I hope your day is going well, even though it's Monday, which is not the best day for some people. It is a lovely sunshiny day here today, not too hot, which is always great for Northern California at this time of year. I appreciate days that actually feel like spring and that haven't gone completely into summer. My head cold is doing a little better, so that is good. I'm taking that as my sign of new life today, the new life that my head cold might get better in the next couple of days, although it is being compounded right now by allergies, so that's never fun. But the head cold part, I think, is actually getting better. So that is my resurrection takeaway for today, my sign of new life, my thankful thing, my grateful, my moment of gratitude for today, that my head cold seems to be getting better. And maybe I won't be quite so loopy and do the wrong episode again, or the wrong part of the episode again. At any rate, I have double checked today. I do know that I'm on the right week. And so I do know when I tell you that today we are doing Psalm 31, it really is the correct psalm for the fifth Sunday of Easter. And yesterday, if you might have noticed when I finished the podcast, I said join me tomorrow when we'll be discussing Psalm 68, 61. I don't even remember which one I said. That's next week's psalm. So you're going to hear me say that again next week. But today's psalm comes from Psalm 31. It is verses 1 through 5 and 15 through 16. And those verses are as follows. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. So again, that is Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5 and 15 through 16, assigned for this fifth Sunday of Easter, the week of May 14th, 2017. And this is a really beautiful psalm of trust, of seeking God, of knowing that you can turn to God in anything. The psalmist is seeking refuge in God. You see that in that first verse. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not ever let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. It's definitely a psalm of trust. And then in the end, it says, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. And I love this last verse. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. I do wonder, as I always do, when we get partial parts of a psalm, what the verses that aren't included in the lectionary assigned text are. And so we are going to look at those right now. The verses that we didn't read from Psalm 31 are verses 6 through 14. And those are as follows. Let me just get there. Sorry, my computer's being a little bit slow. So verses 6 through 14. You hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will exult and rejoice in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have taken heed of my adversities, and have not delivered me into the hand of the enemies. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all of my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. And Psalm 31 actually goes on. There are more verses. It goes from 18 through 24. So after that last verse of, let your face shine upon your servant, save me in your steadfast love, verse 17 goes on. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol. Let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with the pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight, but you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. So this is definitely a psalm of trust. You can see that here. And in those middle verses, 6 through 14, you can really see the distress that is in that's in the psalmist's life. This person is not going through a good time. This person is going through a lot of trials, tribulations, weariness. You know, he's in distress. His life is spent in sorrow. His strength fails. He says, my strength fails because of my misery. It says, I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. this is not going well for the psalmist. And yet, what does the psalmist say? I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. That is amazing trust right there. Even in the midst of everything that is going wrong, even in the midst of just what sounds like a horrible time in this person's life, the psalmist turns to God. And that's an amazing thing. We are going to take our first break of the podcast right now, but when we come back, I will be talking more about Psalm 31. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the assigned psalm for this week, the fifth Sunday in Easter, and that is Psalm 31. The assigned verses are actually 1 through 5 and 15 through 16, but we did go ahead and read that entire psalm in the first section of the podcast. And this psalm, according to my study Bible, is actually described as a prayer for help. Remember, there are different types of psalms throughout the Psalter. They are categorized under different categories. So this is a prayer for help from a person who has severe pain but profound trust in God. It changes into a song of thanksgiving. So this is classified as a psalm that is a prayer for help, but it could also be classified as a psalm of trust because it does transition into a psalm of trust. You see that even though there are all these crazy, terrible things happening in the psalmist's life, eventually it does turn into a psalm of trust, wherein the psalmist simply places his or her life into the hands of God, says, I know you are there, I know you are with me, protect me from everything. And my Bible describes this as a prayer and praise for deliverance from enemies. That's the title before the psalm actually starts. And this is some of the notes from the study Bible on this Psalm 31, 19 through, I'm sorry, 31, 9 through 13. I can't even read my own Bible today. I am in distress. It says the central section of this psalm is filled with images of the psalmist's distress, which emphasize physical pain as well as social isolation and threat. And we definitely saw that in verses 6 through 14, right? The psalmist was feeling definite isolation from his neighbors, who the psalmist saw as scorning him, as being afraid of him, as fleeing from him. But there's also physical pain. So these are probably things that many of us can relate to, either the physical pain or that sense of social isolation, the sense of threat, maybe all of those things. If you have experienced those things in your life, I am deeply sorry for those things that have happened. I hope that you were able to come to a place of trust as the psalmist did. I hope that you had people in your life who were able to help you to come to that place of trust, because we can't do these things alone always. We need the body of Christ around us. We need our brothers and sisters in the family of God to help pull us through these distressing times, to change our psalms of prayers for help into our psalms of joy and thanksgiving and trust. So one other note is on 31, 6 through 8, 14 through 15, and 19 through 20. How abundant is your goodness? In spite of the desperate physical and social crisis, the psalmist still boldly declares faith in God's steadfast love and goodness. Which is a pretty amazing thing that the psalmist can actually declare those things in the midst of the pain and the frustration and the fear, because sometimes we're really good at that and sometimes we aren't, right? Sometimes in the midst of those dark places, it's so much harder to see the light. It is so much harder to focus on the fact that God really is in those places, that God does bring light to the darkness of our lives. It's easier sometimes to just get lost or mired in the darkness, and that's understandable. That's human nature, right? But to be able to see God, to feel God in those places. And for me, as I said, that often comes through other people. Sometimes that sense of trust in God comes from inside myself, and that's great. But other times it has to come from friends, family, loved ones, sometimes even strangers who remind me of the God that is there as my protector, as my rock, as my fortress, my place of safety. God is there even in the dark times, even when I can't necessarily feel God, when I feel like maybe God has abandoned me or deserted me, God is still there. And usually in those times, I have someone who will be able to remind me of that, of God's place in my life. They come to me, and even without knowing it, usually they are able to show me the love that God has for me and help me through those dark places. And I am eternally grateful for those people in my life. I'm eternally grateful to God for placing those people in my life. And I hope that you have those people as well. I hope that even in the midst of your despair or your pain or whatever it is, you have the people who can come to you and help you to remember and recognize God's presence in your life. So I do want to move on to some commentary on this psalm. And this commentary today comes from James Lindberg, Professor Emeritus of Old Testament, Luther Seminary, St. Paul, Minnesota. And if you've listened to the podcast before, then you know what I'm going to say. Dr. Lindberg was one of my favorite professors in seminary. He's a professor at Luther Seminary, a retired professor from Luther Seminary. And I went to Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary in Berkeley. But he came a few semesters in the spring a few years in a row to teach our Old Testament classes when the seminary was between Old Testament professors. So I was lucky enough to be attending seminary during those years. So I got to know Dr. Lindberg and his wife, Martha, and it was wonderful. I loved them both. Well, I love them both. And I'm so glad that I got to know them. I still can't call Dr. Lindberg Jim, although he's told me a couple of times, you can call me Jim, and I just can't do it. He'll always be Dr. Lindberg to me because he was my professor, and, you know, I just greatly appreciated his presence in my life, and I have great respect for him. So, Dr. Lindberg, if you ever listen to this podcast, thank you so much for everything that you taught me. And now we are going to look to Dr. Lindberg's commentary and see what he has to say about Psalm 31. So he says that the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross, according to Luke, were taken from this psalm. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. And that's Luke 23, verse 46. And he says to see correspondingly Psalm 31, verse 5, which is, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." So those are generally known as the seven last words, the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. If you count the word Father, it's technically eight, but the quote, the part where Jesus is quoting from Scripture, comes from Psalm 31, verse 5, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." Those are the seven last words that Jesus speaks from the cross. He just addresses them to God before he speaks them. So the commentary continues, "The last words of Stephen before he died as a martyr were also from this psalm. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And that is from the book of Acts 7:59. So that's interesting that the last words of two people are taken from this psalm. Understandable, because this is a psalm written in the time of distress, but also a psalm that is based in trust in God, trust in knowing that God will take care of us regardless of what is going on in our lives. And if there's any time to be distressed, it would be at the time that Jesus and Stephen spoke these words right before dying. And yet their last words before death were words of trust, which I find amazing, and that's a huge That just is a huge testament to both of them that they have placed that trust in God. And, you know, you might say, well, of course, it's Jesus. Of course he would say that. But, you know, at the time of death, when Jesus was in terrible, horrible pain, it would have been easy for him to commit fully to his humanity and forget that God was present in his life. I don't think any of us would think, oh, wow, how could he have done that? I think we would have said, well, yeah, that makes sense. He is, you know, being crucified on a cross. It would make sense for him to despair, and yet he doesn't. Even more impressive, maybe, is Stephen, who was just a regular person. Just, you know, he was a follower of Jesus. He was a child of God, and yet his trust and faith in God was just as strong. Even at the moment of his death, he was able to say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was able to think to Psalm 31. Maybe it was, you know, something that he had memorized or one of the scriptures that brought him comfort in life. We don't know, but we do all have those scriptures that stick with us, right? So we are going to talk more about this commentary from Dr. James Limburg, but we are going to take our second break of the podcast, so stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. And one more confession. Apparently, I'm just having a week full of them. I mentioned the seven last words from the cross in the previous section, and there are seven words in that phrase. And my brain just, again, I don't know what's going on with my brain this week. Maybe you should worry about me. But seven last words from the cross refer to seven sets of words that Jesus speaks from the cross. And those are often part of Good Friday services. So these were the final words that Jesus spoke from the cross, the final eight words, as it were. But there are seven phrases that Jesus spoke from the cross. And I really did know this, but sometimes my mouth just starts chatting and my brain doesn't catch up. So seriously, I'm not usually this scatterbrained, or maybe I am, and it's just coming out because now I have a podcast. All right, we're moving on. So we're going back to the commentary. We'll go back to an expert, someone who knows what he's talking about. And he says that, Dr. Limburg says that the fact that Psalm 31 contains one of the seven last words from the cross is reason enough to consider this an important part of the psalm, especially if you were thinking about, you know, if you were going to preach on one of the texts assigned for this week, you might consider preaching on the psalm. So he says, it is in fact possible that Jesus recited the entire psalm, or at least longer parts of it, with Luke reporting only this verse. He continues, the psalm is thus associated with the death of Jesus and of Stephen. A portion of it, verses 9 through 16, is assigned by the lectionary to Passion or Palm Sunday in all 3 years of the lectionary cycle. He says, with the focus on verse 5 as the antiphon. Because of these associations, the psalm has long been used at the time of death. And you can see exactly why it would be used at the time of death. First of all, because both Jesus and Stephen commit their spirits in the words of this psalm at the time of their death, but it is also a really good thing to read at the time of the ending of someone's life to remind them and to remind us that we are in God's hands no matter what is going on in our lives or at the end of our lives, that we can commit ourselves to God and know that we are safe, that we are protected, that we have been given promises by God, reassuring us of the promises of the resurrection. Dr. Lindberg goes on to say that Psalm 31 also has something important to say about the life of the believer. He says his approach here will be to consider the psalm as a whole, and the theme of that whole is trusting in God, no matter what. And so we can see where he is taking that theme of trust, that this is a trust psalm, further. And so he says, we may note the way the word or concept of hand occurs in the psalm. In the words prayed by Jesus from the cross, the psalmist addresses God, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." Later on, the psalmist again addresses God, entrusting his life to the Lord, "My times are in your hand." In verse 20, the psalmist declares that the Lord holds the Lord's people safe, presumably holding them in his hand in verse 20. Twice, the psalmist refers to the hand of the enemy. That's in verse 18 and verse 15b. In verse 15a, the psalmist puts his life in the hand of the Lord. Finally, verse 20 declares that the Lord shelters and holds his people, presumably again in God's hands. Did you notice that as we read through these verses, how many times the word hand is mentioned, or hold, which then presupposes hands? I noticed a few of them, but I don't think I paid as much attention to the fact that it really is a recurring theme in this psalm. So he goes on to say that Psalm 31, as a lament, the psalm may be classified as an individual lament, exhibiting elements typical of that genre. So we can identify those elements as complaint, a call for help, affirmation of trust, and vow to praise, which is a typical, those are typical elements of lament psalms. Lament psalms very rarely stay in lament. They usually turn to trust or affirmation or praise at some point within the psalm, which is what I've always found really amazing about the psalms. So, into your hand. Psalm 2, verse 12, promise happiness to those who take refuge. And that's the same Hebrew word that's found in this psalm in verse 1. To take refuge in the Lord. Psalm 31 begins with the one praying, claiming that promise. This imperative is in this call for help. The imperatives in this call for help pile up, he says. Do not let, deliver, incline, rescue. Be a rock of refuge, a strong fortress. After these urgent requests, the writer expresses trust in God with the words Jesus quoted from the cross, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." That trust is based on previous experience with the Lord who has redeemed the one praying and who has proved faithful. The affirmation of trust theme continues in verses 6 through 8. After putting himself in the Lord's hands, the psalmist recalls that the Lord has delivered him from the hand of enemies. A broad place means a place of security and of safety and security. So the psalmist has put his life in the hand of one who had proved to be a rock, a fortress, a trusted guide, and that one has proved to be faithful. So these images of hands, these images of holding, the images of safety and trust and protection that are evoked by the images of being held in God's hands are present throughout this psalm. And actually, we're drawing to the conclusion of our podcast for today. So that, I think, is where I want to leave you today, is thinking about those places of refuge, the places where you feel like you are held in God's hands. Where are those places for you? Are they actually specifically physical places, places that you go, that you feel safe, that you feel loved, that you feel protected? Are they people? Are there people that you go to for those feelings? Is your relationship with God a place of safety and love, of protection and hope and trust? I think for me, again, this goes back to people. It goes back to the people in my life that I know I can turn to whenever I am in distress. I know that I can trust them. I know that they will hold me and protect me and offer me refuge and shelter, whatever that might look like, that they will continue to love me even in my distress, that they will continue to love me even as I continue to make mistakes in my podcast. That's a little tongue-in-cheek, I know, but you got to have a little levity in your life too, right? Those are often people for me. And so that is where I leave you this week. Where do you see God's hand as a place of protection? Where or who or, you know, what are those places? Maybe it's in a physical activity. Maybe it's something like writing or creating art or doing something along those lines. Any place can be a place where we feel God's presence, where we feel that we are being held in God's hands. So I would love to hear from you if you have those places in your life, if you have those people in your life, if you have those activities in your life. As I always say, you can find me on social media, and I would love to hear from you to hear about these places, to hear about these experiences in your life. Those places that you can find me on social media, GSMC Bible Study. It's usually GSMC_Bible Study or - Bible Study. But you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and Tumblr. Facebook and Twitter are probably the easiest way to communicate, but you can always find us on those other social media sites as well. So that is all the time that we have for today's podcast. I hope you will join me tomorrow as we continue with our reading from 1 Peter. We are moving through the book of 1 Peter as we go through this Easter season. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Again, I hope you'll join me tomorrow. But in the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, or you can get all of the, you can get any app that will download podcasts to your mobile devices, and you can find our podcasts there. Again, you can find us on social media, and I've already covered that. So thank you again for joining me. I hope that you are able to recognize the places of safety and refuge that are being, that represent being held in God's hands. I will see you again tomorrow, but in the meantime, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.